This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news. It appears that the Inspector General of the Department of Justice has interviewed Christopher Steele, the author of the dossier.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the broadcast. We talked about this a little yesterday, but I want to get into it deeper because now it appears that federal lawyers in the Department of the Inspector General, so inside the Justice Department, the Inspector General's office, actually sat down and interviewed Christopher Steele. Steele, of course, is the author of the famous Steele dossier. This was the document that Fusion GPS was involved in producing with him. Nellie Orr, the wife of the then fourth-ranking Department of Justice lawyer Bruce Orr, was working with Fusion GPS to create this so-called Russian dossier, the Steele dossier. It's acknowledged again that it was unverified and salacious, but what, of course, is the real problem here is that this document was utilized as what? As a basis for a FISA warrant. What is a FISA warrant? It's a Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act issue. And in that regard, and I think this is really important for everybody to understand, the FISA warrant in this particular case involved Americans. And you had a situation with surveillance of Americans based on a dossier that was, salacious and unverified. Unverified meaning no facts that were determined to be actually true. These were not verified facts. Then, and this is the other complication of this, is you have competing stories as to what launched the Crossfire Hurricane in the first place. We talked a little bit about this yesterday, but this news just breaking right now.
That's right, and this is important. So three attorneys from the Inspector General's office of the U.S. Department of Justice met in person in early June with the author of the dossier, that former British spy, Christopher Steele, who was employed by Fusion GPS, which was employed by the Clinton campaign, said two sources with direct knowledge of the lawyer's travels. The interview, interestingly, happened at the same time that President Trump was in London for a formal state visit with Queen Elizabeth. So you would have had all of these agents coming over, and it wouldn't have looked bizarre that you had, more federal law enforcement officials over in the UK during that time period. So I think it was timed exactly right. It's interesting because the Inspector General has been examining the earliest stages of the FBI investigation of Trump, his former 2016 presidential campaign rival nominee Hillary Clinton, Russia, and the former Trump advisor Carter Page. His office is launched the probe in March of 2018 amid the allegations that the FBI, the main part of the probe, erred in seeking this FISA warrant to monitor Carter Page, an American citizen. So, again, I think that though Christopher Steele has been interviewed before by the Mueller team, by congressional investigators,
yep. Now,
he's being interviewed by the Inspector General, which I think could also lead to being an interview by the U.S. Attorney.
I think it's pretty clear that Durham wants to interview Christopher Steele. Now, look, in the Washington context here, here's what I see happening. Now, you're not hearing a lot of discussion in the debates about any of this. You're not really hearing a lot on Capitol Hill right now about any of this. And I believe that's because they know what's about to happen. The Democrats know about to happen here.
I think that's right, Jay. I mean, there's always a question when it comes to an Inspector General report, how much cooperation he or she is going to get from witnesses that are outside the government or the agency of the purview. It seems like, Jay, that he is getting cooperation from the key witness here. I mean, think about what could be in this, though. I mean, information about how that backdoor contact with Bruce Orr happened, even though he had been terminated as a source, you could have direct information about that. You could have direct information about how firmly the agency knew that this information was not credible. I mean, did Christopher Steele tell them it was not credible? Jay, it's entirely possible he did. Yeah. All of that and more is likely to be in this report.
Well, remember this. I mean, he was terminated because he was leaking information to the press. That was the first basis upon which he was terminated. Then he tried to get back in the good graces of the Department of Justice by doing what? Talking with Bruce Orr. We saw those emails. Maybe we can find some of those. We'll get them up for the next segment of the broadcast because that's now in the record. So a lot to talk about. We'll take your calls as well at 800-684-3110. Your reaction to this latest revelation with Christopher Steele. What does it mean for James Clapper and John Brennan and James Comey? What are your thoughts on that? 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget the matching challenge at the ACLJ, aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Back with more in a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, welcome back. So now confirmed, and this is not any great, I mean, I don't think there's any great shock here, any great revelation we didn't realize. It's that Christopher Steele was, in fact, interviewed by the Office of the Inspector General. Three attorneys from the Office of Inspector General of the Department of Justice met in person in early June with the dossier author, Christopher Steele. What I do find interesting is the change of tenor on a lot of this, on the whole Mueller investigation. Bob Mueller's supposed to testify next week. We'll see what happens on that front. But you see the lack of discussion. Really going, nothing in the debate, Stan, zero in the debate so far, raised about this. Now it's clear that James Comey, McCabe, Brennan, Clapper are all kind of in some crosshairs here. I don't think there's any doubt about that. James Baker, the former general counsel for the FBI, Lisa Page, Peter Strzok. I mean, all and on it goes. These were the people involved in this entire, these are people who launched this thing. And they're the ones that are now subject to this, investigating the investigators. What is the sense, again, you mentioned it briefly, but now we got some more time. What is the sense in Washington right now about this? What are you hearing?
Well, politically speaking, Jay, I think there's nothing being said in the debates because, quite frankly, there's trepidation about just how deep this goes and how far the alliances are to those who are running for president or just others who are elected to office, Jay. And look, you said it's no real surprise that the Inspector General has interviewed Christopher Steele. I do agree with that, but I do think it's very significant, Jay, that the timeline for the release of this report has been pushed back because of cooperation. Because, look, we've had this conversation on air before. There are varying degrees of cooperation that Inspector Generals are able to elicit out of witnesses that are no longer in government service or maybe were never in government service. Christopher Steele is sort of a hybrid of those two things. But it appears, Jay, that he is cooperating. So what it tells me is there's very likely significant information being given, probably about that backdoor contact with Bruce Ohr, probably about how widely it was known that the information he was providing was unverified. All of those things could be very significant. And just to piggyback on something that Jordan said in the break, Jay, because people need to remember this, is very significant. That we had a director of the FBI and a director of national intelligence who are both on the record now saying that surveillance is not spying. I think all of the American people would disagree with that. Surveillance happened, spying happened, and now we're about to figure out why. I have a hunch as to why, but I think we're about ready to hear the truth for sure.
Now, we're going to get in the next segment with Andy and Harry about kind of the implications of what this means, but I want to get from you, and this is from our audience here. So now you've got this whole thing's coming to light, and you got the Christopher Steele portion of this being kind of locked down, which is going to show the connections between Christopher Steele, Bruce Ohr, Nellie Ohr. That's the Fusion GPS connection. Then you got the Strzok Page Mueller connection. Then you have the James Comey leaking the information to his friend to get the special counsel appointed. How important is it to you to get to the bottom of this once and for all and find out what started this? What authorized this in the beginning, and who are the people responsible? Is this an issue? It's not being talked about a lot in Washington by the Democrats right now, but is this an issue that you're concerned about? We'll take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. And how does it impact your thoughts about the upcoming election? 800-684-3110. I think what is important to understand here is that the Inspector General does not make a prosecutorial determination. He can refer a case, but he cannot make a case. So you've got the investigation that Durham is doing, the U.S. Attorney in Connecticut. He's been tasked with responsibility on this from the Attorney General of the United States. They want to get to the bottom of what actually launched this. Mueller places emphasis on the Papadopoulos comments to the professor at Cambridge. That's one scenario. The FISA warrants base it on the, you know, the Carter Page surveillance and the unverified salacious dossier. Well, which is it? I mean, what was the motivating factor on all this that launched this? Because we've got multiple inconsistent stories. That's kind of what we're seeing here. And I think we have to be able to realize that that's what really is at play. I think that is what's at play, by the way. I think that they don't know. So your comments on this, is this an issue that you're concerned with as an American citizen, that people were spied upon in the United States? We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. We can also get your comments in by Facebook and Periscope as well.
Yeah, that's right. 1-800-684-3110.
This is it's an interesting dynamic right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think politically, listen, everyone's waiting to see if Bob Mueller actually does testify. I mean, Bill Barr's kind of said he'd welcome him not testifying.
I think he's going to say his testimony was his report. His report is his testimony. And I think he's going to do that to Republicans, too, by the way. That's kind of my sense of it. And it's going to be nothing. I've already said it. So I think it'll be a bit of a letdown for the far as the TV audience goes.
So if that's a letdown, I think with everything else going, I think you're going to see more and more movement away from this discussion, which is a good thing for President Trump, by the way, in the Democrat debates, because they are concerned that at the, you know, closer and closer they get to the election, more and more information is coming out that this was a move to undermine the democratic process in the United States to elect the president by the FBI and Department of Justice and other intelligence agencies, spying on Americans, top Obama administration officials involved in it, not just bureaucrats like the Strzoks and the Pages and the McKays, but top Obama officials involved in it. And that when you get to that point, if you are a Democrat presidential candidate, you want to ignore. Because other than Joe Biden, the rest can say, you know, I wasn't the president during this time period. You know,
Biden's got a problem.
Joe Biden has a serious problem because he said that the Russian interference would never happen on his watch or Barack's watch, and he said that, and it did. That's a given. We know that the Russians did interfere and attempted to interfere with our elections in 2016. We also know that there was no collusion with the Trump campaign.
And there's not one vote changed.
But Joe Biden said that neither he nor Barack would ever allow that to happen. Take a listen. I mean, it's an insane comment by Joe Biden following many insane comments by Joe Biden.
Look at what's happening with Putin. While Putin is trying to undo our elections, he is undoing elections in Europe. Look what's happened in Hungary. Look what's happened in Poland. Look what's happened in Moldova. Look what's happening. You think that would have happened on my watch or Barack's watch? You can't answer that, but I promise you it wouldn't have, and it didn't.
I mean, I think this kind of, but it did, of course. And there's another thing here that's at play, Than, and that is, how do you see, you got Swalwell drops out yesterday, and that's no great shock. He got zero traction. Where do you see this all going within that context? I mean, kind of the candidates. Is it Jordan's right? I think the others are probably not going to touch it.
Well, first of all, just a quick comment on the vice president. You know, he preemptively told the reporter or the interviewer that you can't answer this. The interviewer absolutely could have answered it. That's just a factual question. It did happen on their watch. But politically, Jay, I think all you've got to do is look at the U.S. House of Representatives right now and look at this schism that is occurring there between Speaker Pelosi and the liberal members of her caucus, most notably Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Rashida Tlaib. Jay, there is just division on how and whether to pursue this on all levels, both the FISA issue, the issue involving President Trump, all of them, Jay. And I think it's a real problem if you're a Democrat running for federal office, really at any level, president or House of Representatives, there's not a unified message. And quite frankly, if there doesn't become one, I think it hurts all of them no matter what side they're on.
But they don't want, I mean, the fact is, the reason they're running away from it is they know where this is going. I think they're smart enough to understand that we're about to find out what happened here. Here's what Congressman Jim Jordan said about this yesterday.
people are coming forward in Mr. Horowitz's investigation. The reason they're coming forward is because there's a new sheriff in town. That's Bill Barr. And Bill Barr has announced he's going to get to the bottom. Never forget what he said. He said there was a failure of leadership at the upper echelon of the FBI. He said spying occurred. He said there's a basis for his concern about the spying that took place. And he used terms that should scare every American.
I think that's exactly correct, and I think that's what they're reacting to. Let's go ahead and take a call before the break.
Yeah, right to the phones we go. Mike in Pennsylvania on line one. Mike, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Jay. It's a great honor to meet you. Talk to you.
Sure.
I have a question. You know, we're in the process of finding out what exactly has happened, and I hear everybody talking about proving it. But once it's proven, which we know it's going to be. What's going to happen to these people? It just seems
I think what's going to happen is you got a U.S. attorney now involved. So the inspector general could write up recommendations and make referrals, but you got a U.S. attorney's involved. So I'll let you finish your thought there, Mike, but this is an actual prosecutor that's now involved in this.
Okay. Well, I think that's what I think when you talk to American people like myself, I'm, a paramedic. I think we are looking for, let's get to the bottom of it, but we also want to see the hardcore, let's get these people prosecuted, that it doesn't happen again. And I think one of the big things that Donald Trump has said is he doesn't want to see this happen to any other president,
right.
Democrat or Republican.
Well, no president should be put through what this president's had and gone through. It's ridiculous. This whole thing if you look at it, and I think we're going to find out more, the thing was a setup from the beginning. I mean, from the beginning to the end. Now, at the end of the day, there was no collusion, there was no obstruction, and that reports out and kind of ends with a thud in a sense, and then you got some testimony that may come from Bob Mueller, and I think that's going to be, again, the same of what we already heard, if that. And then you've got, I think what the next thing is what does Congress do with this? Well, they're not impeaching the president. I mean, this idea, I think they got 70 members that are calling for impeachment, which means they only need another, 140 to go? I mean, it's not going to happen. And look at the time. I mean, they're starting to, Eric Swalwell, gets out of the presidential race because he's got someone on the left of him challenging him for the House.
That's right. So he's got to seriously, even though he said he was going to give up his House seat and go all the way, he quickly decided to change that. And he's got, someone on further to the left of him challenging for his House
seat. Which is the great challenge in the Democratic Party right now.
Yes, right now, as far left as Eric Swalwell sounds, as anti-Trump and as pro-impeachment as he is and anti-everything in all Russia, he's got someone further to the left than him challenging him in California, forcing him out of the presidential race and back into a House race.
All right, we're taking more of your calls. 1-800-684-3110. Is important to you to get to the bottom of this? What does it mean politically? We'll take your calls, 800-684-3110. Don't forget ACLJ.org, the matching challenge campaign of the American Center for Law and Justice. Back with more in a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. So we now know that the Department of Justice did, in fact, through the Inspector General, interview Christopher Steele and the Economo. How significant is that?
It's very significant because Christopher Steele is the author of this dossier upon which, it is no doubt in my mind, the government relied in obtaining a FISA warrant, which is essentially a search warrant against an American citizen, by going to the covert FISA court, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court, and making representations, which I believe it will be shown the government lawyers knew were false, not verifiable, untrue, and that way misled the court into issuing a warrant against an American citizen. And that is wrong.
So, Harry, if we look at that, I mean, we just talked to Jordan and Than about the kind of the political implication, but the legal implications here, if this, in fact, was the basis for these FISA warrants, that was an abuse on the court.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I think is crystal clear, judging by the public statements, for instance, by James Comey, is that the dossier was unreliable. It was unverified, and apparently the FBI did not engage in any affirmative steps toward verifying the information. Instead, essentially, the FBI relied upon a check paid by the Democratic National Committee to Fusion GPS, which then purchased, in essence, this dossier, and that may or may not have led to the initiation of the Russia collusion story. So one of the real questions that we have to go back to is what led to the so-called Russia collusion investigation. Did it start with the dossier? Did it start well before the dossier? But I think the
What's your gut feeling on that?
Well, I think it started well before the dossier was acquired, but I also think the FBI did, in fact, rely on the dossier to issue a FISA warrant on an American citizen. Secondarily, this may have led to unmasking of additional American citizens. And I think, thirdly, I would point out that more likely than not, because the IG has now had a chance to talk to Christopher Steele, guess what? He's getting more cooperation from other witnesses who may need to refresh their memory. Otherwise, they will find themselves potentially facing criminal charges down the road.
So I think it started before the dossier. Harry, what do you think, Andy?
Of course. I mean, this thing did not start with the dossier. This had been brewing in the Justice Department and in the deep state long before the dossier.
I think that's what it's going to show.
Yes, I think the dossier was the impetus for the FISA warrant.
Right.
And that's how they ultimately got their warrant to spy on the Trump campaign officially. But there was a lot. Trying to take out an intern, like a Papadopoulos type. So during the campaign, then moving towards through the transition, all those rule changes that were made by the Obama administration to allow more agencies to get classified into information and classified data, and the unmasking that occurred. And then we hear these excuses like, well, it wasn't me. Someone did it under my name. That's what Samantha Power said. So her staff had the ability to put in unmasking requests, I mean, on American citizens.
It seems hard to believe.
Very hard to believe. And if true, again, very questionable, something the Inspector General needs to look at. But I think we just have to remember that Christopher Steele was someone begging to get back inside the FBI. Specifically, he wanted to get paid by the Mueller team. I mean, this is a guy, ultimately, he's a gun for hire.
Yes.
So he's not doing any of this for free. So he's working with Fusion GPS, so he's got the connection with Bruce Orr, because his wife, Nellie Orr, is there. So, I mean, the text messages that go back and forth between them, remember, this is from
June of 2017.
June and May, yeah, June and July of 2017, about the summer, but specifically, you go to July 16th. Hey, Chris, good to hear from you. Thanks. Hope all is well. I'll pass this along. Hi, Bruce. Hope you're well and getting some holiday with the family. Whenever convenient, I would like a chat. This comes in August 6th of 2017. There's a lot going on. We're frustrated with how long this re-engagement with the Bureau, that's the FBI, and Mueller is taking.
Well, here's the, if you go to June 22nd, 2017, it says, "Hi, Bruce, is there any news on the re-engagement?" Now, the re-engagement they're talking about here is the re-engagement between, remember, Christopher Steele, Andy, has been fired, right? He's gone.
Yep.
This is because he leaked information. Now he's trying to get rehired.
Right. And he's going to the Oars, basically. I think both of them are involved in this, as we know.
Well, she was working for Fusion GPS, right. So of course she was involved
sure.
in it.
Sure. And Orr is still, what I still want to know is, why is Bruce Orr still an employee of the United States Department of Justice?
No idea. I mean, I have no idea on that. The next one says, "Hi, Bruce. Hope you're enjoying the summer." That's one. I spoke to his old colleagues last week, and they assured me that they would not stand in the way of our re-engagement with the Bureau. They thought the administration might take a few weeks, but we seem good to go. Please pass this on as appropriate. The next one is dated July 16th of 2017, and he says he wants to pass this along to his colleagues. They're well aware that it was some holiday with family, whatever community. I would like to chat. There's a lot going on here. We are frustrated, that's what Jordan said, with this re-engagement with the Bureau and Mueller. I mean, they say that in the text. I would like to discuss the re-engagement with the Bureau and Mueller is why it's taking so long. Anything you could do to accelerate the process would be much appreciated. There are some new perishable operational opportunities which we do not want to miss out on. New perishable, that means time frame, opportunities we don't want to miss out on. And he's engaging this with Mueller. So if I was asking Bob Mueller questions, I'd say, were you talking to Christopher Steele about this? Did you use that as information that you contained in your report or your investigation? Did you know that he was discussing this with Bruce Orr? Did you not think that was inappropriate as a professional conduct? I'd have a whole series of questions about that for the special counsel, the former special counsel. Anything you could do to re-engagement with the Bureau, is taking too long. With the Bureau and Mueller, it's taking too long. I mean, just think about that for a moment. So, I mean, and they're putting this in messages back and forth between the two of them, Harry, as if this is just, you know, normal kind of way you conduct business with the spying.
Yes, and what's important to remember, of course, according to the Reuters report, is that Christopher Steele was successful in re-engaging with Bob Mueller. According to the news report, Christopher Steele had two interviews with Bob Mueller, plus he gave written testimony to the Senate Intelligence Committee. So it does seem like Christopher Steele was in discussions with Bob Mueller.
So I want to get Jordan and Than's comment on this one. This one's dated October of 2017. This is from Steele to Orr, Bruce Orr. "Hi, Bruce. Can we have a word tomorrow, please? Just seen a story in the media about the Bureau handing over docs to Congress about my work and relationship with them. Very concerned about this. People's lives may be endangered." And then he says, "I shall also reach out to my other contacts on this issue tomorrow. Thanks, Chris."
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable, again, that you've got this kind of coordination going on between after this guy gets fired, okay? After he's fired by the FBI for leaking information that Bruce Orr continues the personal relationship, continues to push, at least he's telling Christopher Steele that, and he's been testifying pretty openly with Congress, and I'm sure Mueller, continues to push for Christopher Steele to get hired back by the Mueller team. I mean, could you imagine? And this is something I guess, you know, Congress could ask. Did they ever? We know they interviewed him twice. Were they interviewing him for a job? Or were they interviewing him for information? I mean, that's the question. Yep. We know Mueller interviewed Christopher Steele twice and his team. What were the interviews about the dossier, or were they interviewing him to possibly join the Mueller team?
That's what I'd like to know too.
This interview can mean two different things.
All right, we're going to take your calls. We're back in a few minutes, in a minute. If you don't get the full broadcast, go over to Facebook, Periscope, ACLJ.org. Of course, SiriusXM's got it as well. Don't forget the matching challenge at the ACLJ, ACLJ.org for that. That's ACLJ.org. Back with more in just a moment. We'll take your calls as well.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
We will fight. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, we just went through the fact that now we know that Christopher Steele has been interviewed back in June during the president's visit, state visit to the Queen. Three attorneys from the Inspector General's Office of the Department of Justice went and interviewed Christopher Steele in Britain. Jordan, how significant do you think it is?
I think it's very significant. I think it's significant because Christopher Steele, let me just go through this. He was interviewed by Mueller twice. Now, we talked about, was he interviewed for a new job? Was he interviewed for information? But he also, he gave written testimony. So he wasn't actually orally interviewed by the U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee in August of 2018. So we don't really know the scope of his interview with Mueller. We know that he provided only written testimony to the U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee. And now we know that he actually was face-to-face with DOJ attorneys working for the Inspector General. I think that's a huge shift because the Mueller team had a very narrow focus trying to get the president, really, and trying to figure out. I think if they weren't interviewing for a job, they were trying to get him, I think, to justify that the dossier was legitimate. I think that's what the Mueller team was probably hoping to do. Now, you don't see a lot of discussion about this in the Mueller report, but we do know that he did do two interviews with them. I don't know if it was by phone, how they did it exactly. But now we know that while President Trump was there with the Queen and there was all of that was going on, at the same time, Horowitz sent over three of the DOJ attorneys from his team to interview Christopher Steele face-to-face on the record for the report, all focused on the dossier and the origins of the FISA warrant. That's what the IG is really focusing in on, the potential FISA abuse. So we know now what Christopher Steele was being asked about, and what we don't know is exactly how he answered it. Did he say, listen, this was a opposition research document that I didn't intend to have it be used as some kind of FISA warrant? That wasn't the intent. I was just passing along information, and it's up to you guys to figure out if it's correct or not, and if you want to use it that way. So don't blame me. I have a feeling that's what he says, is that I was just collecting a lot of data, didn't know if all of it was true or not, and then I just gave it over to the top, you know, investigative agency in the United States, and if they decide to just take that and not even do their own work on it,
why is that my fault?
Why is that? That's not my fault.
But what does it mean to the court, Andy? I mean, I talked about that earlier, to the FISA court, that this is what they're given as a basis for a FISA warrant against America.
I can't imagine that you would apply for a FISA warrant to search and to spy on an American citizen. And you go before a U.S. district judge who's a member of the FISA court, which is appointed by the Chief Justice, right, Jay?
Right.
And you're making representations with respect to getting a warrant against an American citizen to spy on him, and you're relying on something that is, you don't know what the source and the origin of it is or the methods that were used to acquire the information.
Exactly.
And you're making that representation to a judge to get a warrant to spy on an American citizen.
And Than, you raised the point that there would not have been a delay in the report, which was basically done, if the information they now obtained is not significant. I think that's very true.
I'm fully with Jordan on this. Yep. If the only thing the inspector got from Inspector General got from Christopher Steele was what he had already told Congress, Jay, the report would be out by now or at least very soon. That's the reason for the delay. There's something new here. And I would just tell you this. I mean, I also agree with Andy that this is remarkable, but it's also pretty remarkable to leak a classified memo about a conversation with the President of the United States for a political motivation.
Inexplicable.
Jay, it's not so strange given what else was happening inside the department.
Unethical, inexplicable, illegal. Subject of an investigation. That's what it should be. All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, we're going to take your calls. You've got some folks holding, so stay on the line, folks. 1-800-684-3110. How important is this to you? We're getting closer and closer. It seems like every day we're getting a little bit closer to the truth here. And it's painstaking, but we're getting there. So we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. Jordan's going to tell you about the Matching Challenge campaign.
Yeah, folks, anything you're able to donate. This is a Matching Challenge month, as you know. We're still early in the month of July. Whatever you're able to donate is doubled. What does that mean? Let's say you make a $35 donation online at aclj.org. That's all you're charged on your credit card. It's tax deductible, $35. That's your donation. But we have a donor ready to match that, which means that when you make that $35 donation, effectively you've donated $70 to the ACLJ, but you're only charged $35. So you can double the impact during the Matching Challenge month of July. Donate today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take a call.
Right to the phones we go. Russell in Idaho, online too. Russell, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Russell.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Great.
Hey, I just want to first, there's three points I want to make. Number one, I want to thank you guys at the ACLJ for doing the work that we can't do and doing it for us, because I've been watching you guys since the 80s.
Wow.
And it's good to see that we're actually starting to make some progress.
Yep.
I absolutely believe we have to dig into this thing, and we have to dig into it with teeth. And these people have to be held accountable for corrupting our government system. There is no trust left. They have just totally destroyed our system. And the third point is this is how socialist liberals work. This is how they do their dirty work behind the scenes, and if everybody's running around preaching this socialism as a good thing, but they will sacrifice our freedoms for their benefit.
Well, I'm going to turn this over to thanks for calling in, Russell. I'm going to turn this over to Professor Hutchinson, because he's written a lot about this. But I think Russell makes a number of good points. The socialism thing, clearly, the Democrats are trying to figure out who they are, and the run to the left is obvious.
Absolutely, and so I think it's very, very important to note that the Democrats essentially have been captured by globalized elites who argue that the rules that apply to rank-and-file Americans do not apply to them. And I think if you look at the behavior surrounding the Democrats in the deep state with respect to the Christopher Steele dossier, the launching of a Russia collusion narrative, and then they seek evidence in support of that narrative, even though there was not sufficient evidence to launch the investigation in the first place. That is clear evidence that the caller is onto something. And so I think all of the American people should be wary of the narrative which is being captured and pushed by the mainstream media. And I hope at the end of the day, individuals like Bruce Orr and Nellie Orr will be held accountable. And my intuition says they are probably among the group that are being re-interviewed either voluntarily or involuntarily by the Inspector General.
Our producer, Will Haynes, brought up a really important point. Bruce Orr is talking to Christopher Steele about re-engagement while the president is in office as the president.
Yes, that's right. I mean, it is so unique that a DOJ attorney is willing to discuss reengaging with a fired former asset of the FBI while President Trump is in office to continue to spy on President Trump.
Yep.
And I the only way reason I can think that Bruce Ohr is still there is because he's a cooperating witness to all of this.
Maybe.
And because he's been he's testified a lot. His wife testified without having to be subpoenaed. He went before the Senate committees. I don't know about reports about him being interviewed by Mueller. I'm not sure if he was or not. But I would certainly believe that he was by the Inspector General and that he will be by U.S. Attorney Durham as well.
So, Andy, how significant do you think it is that Bruce Ohr is talking about re-engagement with Christopher Steele while the president is president?
Well, I mean, I think that that's despicable conduct. Think about it. Here is a person in the Trump administration Justice Department who's talking about somebody who spied upon, gave information with regard to spying on the president, who's talking about him with and bringing him back into the fold again. Think about that. Right under the president's nose, so to speak. Well, I mean, how outrageous is that? And I think Will's pointing that out as a major point. That's why I keep coming back to this theme. Why is Bruce Ohr there still? And it's got to be because he's cooperating and talking about other people who were involved in this. But I can't understand why he continues to be an official of the Justice Department when he was engaging in this kind of conduct.
So, Fan, I want to ask you the same question. I think this is a big deal. I want you to think about this for a moment. The sitting president of the United States is under this investigation, and the FBI and the Department of Justice are going to a disgraced, at this point, Christopher Steele, who is fired for leaking information to the media. And while the president is president, as Will Haynes pointed out, they are now trying to figure out how his re-engagement for work should work. Not like Congress to ask questions of Christopher Steele about that one and Bruce Ohr.
Well, they sure better, Jay. I mean, if this isn't the deep state, I don't know what is. I mean, you talked about this in unbureaucratic, and it's only gotten worse. But look, I sure hope that Jordan's theory about why Bruce Ohr is still there is correct, because this has been my biggest concern from day one on this, Jay. I mean, we know that Bruce Ohr violated procedures to continue contacting Christopher Steele. But, Jay, I just cannot believe, it just defies belief to me, that the knowledge inside the Bureau would have stopped with Bruce Ohr. I think there were layers of people who were aware of this. I think it's impossible for there not to have been. And Jay, I would tell you with almost ironclad certainty that some of those layers, some of those personnel are still there. I don't want them having levers of power to abuse this sacred trust again. So I sure hope that the reason Bruce Ohr is still there is because he's cooperating. Because quite frankly, if one of the people who was involved in this abuse remain there after the investigation is done, then the job has not been complete. He better be cooperating. That's the only justifiable reason for him being there.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Harry, what do you think about that?
Well, I think Than is correct, and I think he's probably correct with respect to Bruce Ohr and his cooperation. But it's my intuition that this internal conspiracy, if you will, within the DOJ and within the State Department and other layers of government goes far deeper than Bruce Ohr. And so what we really need is a thorough cleansing program that is aimed at removing the taint, the internal taint within the United States government. That will require some jail time, in my opinion.
So here's the question. Do you think that the special counsel should be asked about his contacts with Christopher Steele? Should Bob Mueller be asked about his department, his special counsel's office contacts with Christopher Steele, knowing what he knew or what did he know? You think he should be asked that question? We'll take your calls on that at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. These are the kind of things I think the people of America have a right to know if Bob Mueller's going to actually testify.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is, if he's going to testify, we want to know the interactions that the special counsel's team had with Christopher Steele. What were the interviews about? Why didn't it make it into the report? I mean, what you interviewed him twice. What was that? And you can't just say the report speaks for itself because the report doesn't speak to it. Second, you know, I think that as Ginger wrote, how can this be stopped from happening again? We're seeing that process now because what we're showing is how many people have lost their careers, how many people are out of government. They've lost their pensions like McCabe. They have lost their careers. They've gone down as disgraced, like Jim Comey, who I think history will see him as disgraced. Media tries to play him up sometimes, but he is disliked by both sides of the aisle. So he's disgraced and fired. Peter Strzok, gone. So the head of counterintelligence, gone. I think Brennan and Clapper are next in being disgraced, as well as Samantha Power. And so that's a pretty big group of intelligence folks. And that doesn't even include their number twos, really, like the Jim Bakers, like the, right. the general counsels and their attorneys, the Lisa Pages as well. So I do believe that you can stop this from happening again by the investigation that's going on now by the IG, by the U.S. attorney, what he's doing, and then ultimately likely reforms to the FISA system.
And Andy, you say also don't forget Sally Yates, who was the acting attorney general.
She was acting attorney general, and she was deputy attorney general of the United States. And she was there at the time this warrant was presented to Judge Contreras, okay?
Right.
So I know, and you know, that her eyes and her hands touched those documents, saw those documents.
How could they not?
Yes, and passed upon the credibility of those and vouched for their authenticity before a U.S. district judge. Don't tell me she didn't, because I know she did because of the position that she was in. So I think someone needs to question her, too.
I can't imagine the circumstance upon which the Deputy Attorney General of the United States, who was in charge of this, right. would have not have seen it. Do you want these questions answered? Or do you think this whole Bob Mueller thing is political theater that the Democrats are putting on? And I think there's a lot to that. There was an interesting comment by Bill Barr yesterday. Do we have it? I'll get it for the next segment, where he talked about what this may end up actually looking like and whether Mueller testifies. And I assume he is. I think that if he does this, I'm going to stick to my report. We do have it. Let's go ahead and play it.
I would not object to Bob going up to testify. But after I said that, he indicated he was not interested in testifying. I was disappointed to see him subpoenaed, because I don't think that serves any purpose, dragging Bob Mueller up, if he in fact is going to stick to the report. It seems to me the only reason for doing that is to create some kind of public spectacle.
Yeah, he went on to say that they would back him up in not testifying if he decided not to do it. We'll try to get that as well for the next segment. All right, coming to the last segment, we're going to answer your questions on any topic. It's open line on the last segment of the broadcast. Whatever you want to talk to us about, 1-800-684-3110. Get your comments in by Facebook and Periscope as well. But again, if you want to talk to us, 800-684-3110. Don't forget the matching challenge.
Yeah, that's right. The matching challenge at ACLJ.org. Double the impact of your donation. It's a matching challenge month, the entire month of July. Very important financially for the ACLJ. If you can make that contribution and double your impact, do it today. ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
We had an interesting discussion during the commercial break here for our radio stations. Of course, on Facebook and Periscope, you get to see our discussions during the commercial break. So it's pretty clear now, Than, that members of Congress have not read the incomprehensible Mueller report.
I've heard excuses like my reading list is very long. I'm just not that interested. What's the point? Those are kind of the taglines. But Jay, look, for a lot of them, they've only got a week before he's in front of them, and allegedly they have to question him about it. So they're going to have to start reading pretty quickly. I've read through it, Jay. It takes some time, so they're going to want to get it started.
Yeah, well, it's incomprehensible. I don't care how many times. And I've read it like three times, Andy, and I've read the thing. I think you got like memorized. It's a very poorly written document. But let me tell you what the most significant thing is here. Bob Mueller failed in his task. We were just talking about this with Professor Hutchinson, because he conflated the system of justice we have in the United States. Innocent until proven guilty. He says guilty unless I can exonerate. And that is not that's not the way it works under our system of justice, Harry.
Precisely correct. And so, essentially, he was looking for an answer to a question which is not posed under Anglo-American jurisprudence. Can I find evidence to exonerate? No. Can you find evidence beyond a reasonable doubt that a particular individual is culpable? Then you are entitled to bring charges or at least state that you have affirmative evidence to do so. And so what Bob Mueller and his team did, I think largely propelled by political calculations, they decided to reverse Anglo-American jurisprudence and say, hey, we could not find enough evidence to exonerate. Well, Bob Mueller, that's not your job. A first-year law student in criminal law knows that.
Jordan, you said that's still the question you want answered.
That one sentence by Bob Mueller's team.
We did not find a crime.
Yeah,
we did not exonerate.
Yeah, why add that portion? Your job as a special counsel, as any kind of prosecutor, is not to exonerate. You didn't feel like you could even make a decision about it. So guess what? You're just supposed to say, decline. I mean, you shouldn't have even gone down the path of here's the 10 areas we were concerned about. If ultimately none of those 10 areas you could come to a conclusion amounted to obstruction. And remember, they made sure when Bob Mueller gave his one press conference, they came back with a press statement saying, he wasn't saying that it was because of DOJ policy that they didn't prosecute. He was still saying that they could not come to a conclusion on whether or not their obstruction actually did occur. Thus, I do feel like probably half of Bob Mueller's team would have liked to have said the president obstructed. And half of Bob Mueller's team.
This obstruction by tweet theory, which was absurd.
Bob Mueller's team said, we're not supposed to be making those decisions because you have the OLC policy. So somewhere in between, it got out to be, well, kind of, but not really.
Right.
And that is not acceptable by any kind of standard of law, of prosecutor. And I think Bob Mueller embarrassed himself and most of the members of his team. They showed their true colors. They were partisan hacks who were not willing to take it to the next level. They were too scared to actually say what they could have written, which was they could have said they thought the president obstructed. They just
but
felt
they knew
like
that
they
would
can't.
Have not flown legally, that there was no legal basis upon which they could say that. And they come up with that convoluted, well, out of fairness, we try to hurt him in our statements, but he can't defend himself, but we're going to do it anyways. That report is disgusting. Okay, let's be realistic. It's poorly done. It's incoherent, and it doesn't follow with the rules of law in the United States of America. The rule of law says you are innocent until proven guilty, not you are guilty until you're exonerated. And that's where Bob Mueller gets an F, in my view. All right, let's go ahead and take a call.
And the whole team around him.
Yes.
I don't think Bob Mueller, probably unless he's actually going to testify, ever read any of this.
We'll see.
In full. I mean,
it's incomprehensible.
So I think that's why he'd like to just say, well, it speaks for itself on that.
It speaks for itself. It's gibberish and incomprehensible. That's what it speaks. A language we do not know. Okay.
Question on the sits is Cambria calling in from Utah online, too. Cambria, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Cambria.
Hi. Hey. Thank you for taking my call. My question is if the citizenship gets on the census, how are they going to ensure or enforce they actually answer truthfully?
That's you have to trust the people. They're not going to send agents in to do it. You are doing it, Than. It's under penalty of perjury.
Yeah, absolutely. It technically is. Jay, I think here's the there's the important thing. From 1820 to 2010, this was a question that was asked. President Obama took it off. This is restoring it to its historical place. It's really not that controversial. So, I mean, Jay, they ask things like how many exterior doors are in your house, which direction do your toilets flush? But, hey, heaven forbid we ask if you're a citizen of the United States.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to figure that question out, man. How
different people get different questions.
You mean go up or down, I guess, right?
Yeah, because where you were.
No, left or right, Jay. That's been on the census in previous years.
Yep. And which side the handle's on?
No, the water spin.
Is left or right? What happens, Andy, if you put right, but it's really left, and you're under the penalty of perjury?
Not only that, they may ask more intimate questions. I don't like talking about water spilling in toilets. I don't like that.
We all don't get the same census anyways.
Right.
It's samples. So different people get different questions.
Not really. Yeah, I don't recall that one, Bethan, but that was you put one on me that I wasn't expecting. All right, we've got some. Let's get some comments also in on Facebook here. We'll take another call in a minute. Kerry said they should have never happened to a presidential candidate, regardless of political party. No question about that. Howard said Facebook said I think this should be over. Why does the left want to keep pushing it? Well, Bethan, are they pushing it anymore? It seems to me. I mean, Jerry Nadler said he's sending out 12 more subpoenas, but it never. Not a word of this in the debate. Not a word.
Yeah, I really don't think they are, Jay, and they're not doing it because it's not politically to their benefit. I think the reason they reverted to it so many times is because their own policies were failing and they needed to oppose the president on something, Jay. Now they're reverting back to their policies of socialism, but good luck winning in the Rust Belt with policies and socialism when they're finally states are finally on the rise. I don't think there's any direction for them to turn now, Jay.
All right, we've got a really interesting call. Beth has got a good call from North Carolina.
A good question for
Beth. Where are you calling from in North Carolina?
I live in Apex, which is right outside of Raleigh.
Okay. You've got a very good question. Go ahead.
Well, I've been listening, and I've been following this for a couple of years, and I'll say this. I am an attorney also, but not a criminal.
Well, there you go. It makes sense. But, that's why you have such a great question. Well, go ahead.
Well, my question is this, what you said about innocent until proven guilty and the fact that Mueller has turned that upside down. My question is, because there are so many questions about Mr. Mueller, why is he not an appropriate witness for Mr. Durham?
Well, I think he is. I mean, honestly, I think he is. I think he is because he also had conversations, evidently, or his staff did, with Christopher Steele. You want to know what happened to Peter Strzok, why that information was wiped clean? I think he probably. I mean, I don't know what that he is, but I think he should be. That's my view, Andy.
I agree. He's the man that's supposed to know it all. He wrote 438 pages of report. He supervised 18 attorneys.
Harry?
He worked for 22 months. Let's ask you some questions, and I think I think it's appropriate.
And I think the other question that's out there is, when did Bob Mueller decide that there was insufficient evidence to justify a conspiracy charge? And so I'd
why
love
didn't you
to
stop.
And
right.
Exactly.
Yes. Why did you need to write Volume 2 if Volume 1 was finished as we expect within a couple of months?
There you go. Because they were looking, they were on a search for a crime they couldn't find. They were trying to hurt the president. It did not. But they've created a lot of political theater. Fan, what do you think happens next week on the hearing?
I think he doesn't answer any of those questions, Jay, because if he does, there's nowhere for him to stop. I think he'll give a brief statement, and really won't say anything when it comes to questions and answers.
All right, well, that does it for the broadcast today. Don't forget the matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org.
Yeah, that's right, ACLJ.org. July is a matching challenge month. It means a big fundraising month for us, financially very important to the ACLJ. Double the impact of your donation. Donate now, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes